Com.
Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Coming up, let me set the table for you. Should you care about your president's religion? That was one of the issues that came up during a big voters values summit in D.C. It's evangelical Christians, for the most part, who gather for this summit, but definitely have a lot of sway in the GOP. It opened up kind of a little bit of a Pandora's box, but should it do that? In the meantime, speaking of politics, Herman Cain keeps on keeping on as this race starts to narrow perhaps a little bit. Maybe not, because so far everybody's hanging in. You would think there'd be a few casualties at this point, because you got to raise a lot of money and you got to go out there and convince people that you're going to get those numbers in the polls before you call it a day and throw in the towel when you're at the bottom end of all these polls that are out there. That's why the polls matter, because what happens is you're stumping for votes already. That's what you're doing. Who is ultimately going to emerge from the Republican Party to take on the incumbent president, as the president is suffering from his all-time low? He's struggling to pass his jobs bill. Unemployment is stagnant. And polls show that his approval rating is tying, actually, that all-time low. So this means there's some maneuverability for headlines, anyway, for a few people on the right side of the road. But the road is filled with lots of potholes, my friends, without a doubt. All right, also coming up here on America Tonight, we're going to go to our mailbag. A lot of you chiming in on our straw poll. Yes, it's still churning and burning. We said 3 weeks, so we're on week three. Herman Cain, who's gotten a lot of the play in the press in the last 3 weeks, is getting a lot of your votes. But so is Ron Paul. And then behind both of them, Rick Perry, Mitt Romney, and Michelle Bachmann is the only other one that shows up. Rick Santorum and John Huntsman and Newt Gingrich. They're not polling in our poll anyway. They're not polling. We have to talk about this thing called Occupy. Occupy this, Occupy that. The Occupy folks are everywhere now. And there's two schools of thought on this. Some think it's trumped up and has more sinister meaning behind it, that, geez, it's not just these people, these poor people that are feeling disillusioned, feeling like they don't matter, that there's not going to be any jobs, and that it's all about the rich people and the greed of Wall Street and the financial sector. It's just wrong, and that's why we're out here. And when I say out here, it could be in Washington, D.C., could be in New York, where the biggest crowds, of course, have gathered right there at Wall Street. And around the country, it's really starting to bubble. It's becoming a movement that is not really defined. It is kind of like the Tea Party in a sense, because when the Tea Party first came about, I mean, there's vast differences between the two, but the way it started, when the Tea Party started to crop up, there was somebody who decided, well, we're tired of this whole spending and taxing and spending, or not, you know, not cutting the spending and the deficit that we're in. We can't keep going down this path as a nation, and healthcare is going to cripple us, the new law, and as it starts to kick in down the line. So we're going to protest it. And we're called the Tea Party, and there's a whole bunch of Tea Party people, or people coming together for the Tea Party movement all over the country, and look where that went. What happens with the Occupy people? And the Occupy people, like I said, very tough to define what kind of a so-called movement this is. at this point. And there are some that are flat out saying, forget this. You're focusing it on the wrong direction on Wall Street, because the Wall Street people, if you wanted to talk about investors or business, if it's just a business thing, these would be the job creators in the private sector, even if you look at them as hungry beasts who are swallowing whole people and are making 150 times more and getting crazy bonuses than the average worker for their own companies. But that's a whole, I think that's a whole different side to some of these companies and what's really caught in the ire of a lot of people. What it is, I believe, is that you definitely have some organization behind this, and there's no question it's an anti-rich, anti-Wall Street, anti-corporation, you know, movement thing. But I think there are a lot of Republicans who support it, and there are a lot of Democrats, obviously, that support it. So it's not all anti-GOP. Now, the people running don't. So Herman Cain definitely doesn't. Mitt Romney definitely doesn't support this. Rick Perry definitely doesn't support it. In fact, mostly what is said when they're asked questions about it, you know, it's a free-for-all. Now that you're running, anything's game, any question's game, and when you're out there maneuvering, out in the wild, stumping for votes, anything can come your way. You can be fired and hit with any question. And that's one of the questions that has come up. What often is said is that really you need to go and protest in Washington, D.C., because this is where you're being held back with all of the regulations, with all the stranglehold on private business, and the fact that the business is, whether you think the corporation is evil or not, they're not going to stay where they have the worst corporate taxes. They're going to get the best bang for their buck because they have to have a clean bottom line. They have to stay in the black and then some. So we'll tell you and let you hear the sounds of the Occupy people and hear what some others have to say. Hear what Nancy Pelosi has to say about the Occupy movement. I know there are a lot of people that are excited about that, but let's hear what the former Speaker of the House had to say over the weekend about Occupy Wall Street. Michelle Bachmann had a different take than Pelosi, as you can imagine, on the Wall Street thing. And then, of course, there were people that were saying, why are we here in the first place? And that's what everybody wants to know. What is the movement about? Why are they there? And ultimately, how far does this go and how long does this continue? How long does this continue? Coming up on the flip side, however, we will talk about the controversy coming out of Washington from the Voters Values Summit and let you know as well that Ron Paul won the straw poll there. He pulled in 37% of the vote. So even though he comes up in single digits in national polls, including the latest Fox News poll, they showed him at a low 6%. He is definitely doing well when it comes to a couple of these straw polls. Remember California, he won that one, and here we go again. He's got certainly some very, very loyal people because they register, they support him, and then they participate. He's got participators. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price, and you could lose money. But it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Question that we've tackled in a different way in the past. And when I say that, I mean, we've talked about what is it you want in a president? What is it that is important to you? And the whole voting population, there is a sea of different opinions. What is the one thing, though, for you that you drill down? I say this, I've said this a couple of times, as the most important characteristics of a president that you're hoping that you're going to get. One of them, or something that comes up and was raised by the Texas pastor, Robert Jeffries, who said that in a sidebar conversation he was having, by the way, at the Values Voters Summit, he referred to, he was talking about Mormons or Mormonism. He referred to it as a cult. And he was talking to reporters after speaking, where he was invited. The reason he was there was to introduce the Texas governor, Rick Perry. And since that happened, he ignited the powder keg of the religious argument of should religion matter in the presidency, basically, because he is not backing down over what he said, other than to just kind of clarify that he was talking about a theological cult and not a sociological cult when he was talking about Mormons. And he, you know, that's what he said. He's talking about clear Christians versus the others. And Jeffries is the pastor of one of the largest churches in the state of Texas, and he's pretty well respected. But there are other religious leaders, because this has come out, who have stepped forward and said, you know what, this isn't, he doesn't, you know, we don't agree that Mormons are a cult. That it, clearly there are several people have said, other pastors, whatever, have said that there are clearly theological differences, no kidding, between evangelicals and Mormons. Of course there are. But I think what he was really pushing was, you know, don't go in this direction. Vote for my man, Rick Perry. Rick Perry is the guy. He's on the same page as the rest of us. He agrees with us down the line. So look at him. Look at him. Although what's interesting is the Baptist pastor, when he was asked, okay, well, if Romney's the guy, do you back Obama then? And he said, no, 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 then I back Romney. I'm going to back Romney if that's the only choice. I'm backing him. So take from that and draw from that what you will. That wasn't the only thing that happened in D.C. In the world of politics, and this is what I just mentioned, the Occupy movement has maybe hit your town because it's popping up to medium-sized town, mid-sized towns, if you will, and suburban areas, and, of course, all the big cities, Chicago and St. Louis and Philadelphia and New York is the first. New York City is the first place where they had it. And so now the Occupy movement, although it's very hard to define, as I was saying, you're seeing that more and more people are gathering, that are they're starting to be part of this, wherever it happens to be and wherever it, I guess, happens to lead them. Because sometimes, you know, we're talking about marches, and sometimes you're talking about people that are just intense and they're protesting and they'll have signs. You know, ultimately you're talking about the location of these protests. And everybody wants to know, they're, okay, we have this Occupy movement in New Orleans. We have this Occupy movement in Raleigh. What is it? What is it? Somebody said that to me. Who are these people? Who are these people and what are they protesting? Are they protesting just simply that they don't have jobs or they're looking for jobs or they can't get jobs? Are they, somebody asked me over the weekend, are they actors? I don't think they're actors. At least if they are, they're D-list actors. They're nobody that I have ever seen anywhere. And I think their point was, are they acting out? Are they just, you know, is this part of an act? Is that what this deal is all about? So here's what Nancy Pelosi had to say from her point of view on who the protesters, not who the protesters are so much, but what she thinks about the protesters.
I support the message to the establishment, whether it's Wall Street or the political establishment and the rest, that change has to happen.
Yeah, that's a pretty tepid comment. Michelle Bachmann agrees with what I was saying is, you know, focusing on the government because that's where that change is going to happen anyway, right? So here's her two cents.
It seems to me that their anger should be directed at the White House because Barack Obama's policies have put us in one of the worst tailspins economically that we have.
All right, and keep in mind she's running for president. So she's just squarely saying, hey, blame it on the press and some of the cockamamie things that have happened. And remember, you know, this whole jobs push is not, at this point, it hasn't passed. It's just about stumping for the votes around the country, trying to get people to pay attention to it, and ultimately try to pressure Congress into coming up with his passing the President's Jobs Act or not passing it. But based on what I've seen in the jobs package, sure, I think there's some things that, I mean, almost all of them would agree upon, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. And then there's things that clearly would part the sea between the crowds. So I don't see that sea being bridged. I don't see it. Do not see it. Here's a couple of people talking about trying to talk about, you know, why are they doing it? What's the idea? Are they hopeful about what's going to happen? Are they disillusioned? Take a listen.
It got laid off at 3 o'clock today. And I decided to just, you know, instead of going home, come down here.
There's something that's bubbling. There's something that's happening. There's a youthful involvement here. The agenda may not be crystal clear, but there's an energy that might lead to something really big. I'm very hopeful.
Yeah, see, it's not crystal clear. There isn't really an agenda, and I guess that's the thing, but just because they don't have an agenda, you know, does this grow any bigger? Are there more people that end up screaming to end what ails us, Wall Street, blaming Wall Street and capitalism? I saw a sign, end capitalism, and I was like, ooh. Boy, you don't want to end capitalism because what are we going to return to then? If you hold up a sign that says smaller government and less regulation, then I'm right there with you. I'll hold up the sign too, because it's not working with the bigger government. The bigger government is filled with those potholes that I mentioned at the top of the show. Clearly, we're falling into them. We're hitting every single pothole. And that's part of the reason why. And because we've gotten into this crazy deficit situation, and you got to be wary. You look at what's going on with Greece and the European Union, and why do you care about that? Because of what's happening to their monetary system. And trust me, it will have rippling effects on our monetary system, where we're already in trouble, where you cannot put a price, so to speak, on the fact that we owe China. Yes, right now there is a little bit of an exchange, because the Chinese are also making money off of selling us all their cheap goods. Sorry to say, we've done the game. Walk around your house, if you haven't heard my show before, flip things over and start seeing what's made in China. You might be a little stunned. You can even get American flags that are made in China. And therefore, the Chinese want to play nice, at least now, because they're also making money on the other end by exporting all of their stuff, whether it's dog food, unfortunately, whether it's painted goods that have lead poisoning. Okay, that happened on a few things. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. Good, bad, indifferent, whatever. It's cheap stuff that gets imported, and people in the United States want it because they're paying less because they don't have as much money, or they're not even thinking about it. And we don't make anything, for goodness sake. That's the other thing. If we're not making very much, then you can, you know, you're limited by what your options are and what you're shopping for. So, I mean, that's the truth of the matter. You are limited. So I do believe that if that's what the sign says, then I'm right there with you holding that sign up. But pure on, the corporations suck, and we can't, pardon the language, that's what the signs say, and we can't have this anymore. Well, that's not doing anything, because you got to remember, do you have to rely on the private sector? Hey, I'm right there with you with these greedy CEOs, the ones who are taking massive amounts of money. Then they parachute out after they destroy a company, get another gig for millions of dollars. Hey, expose them. There ought to be something against the law with that. Stay with us.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget,
crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
For beating all of you up, let's face it, about venting. And I know you can't always get to the phone and you want to throw something in and then you think about it later or you listen to me later. We have a great way to listen by going on demand. If you go to the website, you can grab any of the hours off. And some of you have written me, like Christina in Sweden, that you listen on demand because of whatever the time change or you're crashed for part of it. You know, it doesn't matter. So what I often say and weave it in throughout the show from the very beginning is don't be shy. You can certainly send us an email. And boy, right from day one, we were off to the races with so many emails, people venting about all kinds of things. And sure enough, many of you weighed in over the weekend. So let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Oh, thank you. All right, here's the first one. This comes to us from Jane, who says, Kate, did you hear the deal in Washington, D.C. With the Air and Space Museum? What is the scoop on that? What was the deal with the pepper spray and the protesters, and what were they trying to say? Do you know? Well, from what I understand is they were, most of the protesters, it was the anti-war Afghanistan drone people and the Occupy Wall Street protesters that were in D.C., and they tried to get into the Air and Space Museum, and they were protesting, I guess, the drone display. But that museum closed early Saturday, and that's what happened. The people went there and they were trying to get in, and there's maybe 200 people or so in the crowd at the Smithsonian. And the two groups had gathered together, and they're targeting the drones. They were, you know, protesting the drones and protesting government spending. So you name it, pick it, and that's what was happening. And from what I understand and what I saw, because I saw the video of it, people were pushed away. There was a museum security guard, and he was actually almost on the floor because he was propped up against a wall, because there were so many people that were coming at them, that another guard panicked, and he set off the pepper spray. He just went for the gusto, went for the pepper spray, and that's where it kind of all broke loose after that, forcing, you know, people out of the building, but it was the time that they were in the building, and now the D.C. police is saying that they didn't know anything about the museum security, that they were going to pepper spray the protesters. And so you saw, from what I could tell with the video, you had Occupy Wall Street, not Afghanistan signs and that kind of stuff, and it was supposed to be a non-violent protest, and the idea was, according to some of the people that were on hand as they were marching and saying, let's take back democracy and end the war in Afghanistan. So now I guess the Occupy movement is taking on another thing on its back, because, you know, the definition of what is the movement. So healthcare, Afghanistan, jobs, you know, just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I hope that answers your question, Jane. So that's what I saw. That's what I saw in the video. And it's too bad. But the guard was freaked. The guard was freaked when he was pinned against the wall. And then that's what prompted the other one to react, because he was being overwhelmed by the crowd. All right, here's another one. This comes to us from Jake in Austin, Texas. And he says, hello, America. Tonight, happy Thanksgiving. Hee, hee, hee. I know you have a lot of listeners in Canada, so I just want to wish them a happy Thanksgiving. Ooh, even the thought of turkey and mashed potatoes and corn just makes me salivate. I can't wait for Thanksgiving. Well, I second that emotion. I love Thanksgiving. I do. And he goes on to say, I don't know if you saw this or not, but this is kind of lighthearted. Sometimes you say you lighten the load. And I was just curious if you realize that one of the Beatles got married over the weekend. Sir Paul McCartney tied the knot again. What do you think? Well, this is what I think. I think that the love of his life certainly was his first wife, Linda, but she died. And then he had succumbed to cancer. And then he had the second marriage, which was crazy, the wildest divorce, one of the wildest divorces ever that got all the reporting all over the place. And now apparently the third time, the woman that he married has been dating for a while, and she is an heiress. Talking about that 1%, was there any protesters, Occupy people around in the crowd? I guess not, since it was in London. The Occupy folks haven't gone over to London yet, so he gets married again for this third time, and I think, who cares? Except for, yeah, I like the Beatles, and of course, why would I wish him ill will? But, you know, there's not going to be any monetary thing that she's going to want, because she has plenty of money, whatever it is that the family does. She's got her own money, so you can imagine that he was probably pretty protected this time. I'm just certain that he had some kind of a prenup or something. I'm thinking that, you know, because this, her father's company, I guess, has revenues of about $400 million. $400 million. Wonder if they have a lot of employees. I wonder what their tax rate is. So anyway, Paul McCartney, married in London. That's the end of that story, Jake. I don't know what else to tell you. I like the Beatles, like I said, and of course you hope that Paul McCartney is doing well. He seems like a good cat from the few funny cut-up times I've seen him in some situations where he's been at the Super Bowl and he talked to everybody on set, and, you know, he just seems like he has a unique personality, I'll call it that. Let's move to another one. This one comes to us from Anderson. And Anderson says, oh, Kate, are people just sick of it? I wasn't part of that crowd, but now I'm starting to feel the same way. Everyone around me is scared to death that they're not going to be able to survive. They're living paycheck to paycheck. Many of them had to go into their 401ks. And for goodness sake, they're not going to have anything left for years to come. I think it's a very sad state. Well, I don't necessarily agree with the protesters, only because I think they're missing the point. Bravo, at least to them, in the sense that they're letting their voices be heard. Why not? Screaming, yelling, that's exactly what the Tea Party did, and the Tea Party certainly got somewhere. Who knows? Maybe they can shore things up and have a little bit bigger of a movement that seems more defined. What do you think? I don't know that they're going to get defined, because, as I said, you know, healthcare, drones now, if you were talking about the Washington Group, capitalism, education. I mean, it's the things that we, on this talk show, the what I call is the, you know, water cooler buzz, it's the thing that all of us are concerned about. So I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure this movement because it becomes a very defined movement, let's say. Here's another one. This comes to us from Little John. Little John says, Kate, I know you're a big football fan. You do that nail the something thing. I think nail the score. And I wanted to know if you saw about Al Davis. I did. I was watching, I think it was Fox, and they were talking about Davis. And, boy, I had a chance to meet him just twice because I covered briefly Oakland when they were out of Oxnard. I went to one of their training camps when they moved south toward L.A. And, you know, he was friendly enough. It was just a few-minute conversation. He was skulking the sidelines at a practice, and that was it. So it wasn't during the season. But Al Davis, he's one of those love-him-or-hate-him kind of guys. He certainly spent most of his career in Oakland. He got there as a coach. I was reading his bio. In 1963. And it was a terrible team when he was there. So he turned things around. He finished 10-4. And he was coach of the year and all that sort of stuff. But he was only in his 30s. So he was the coach and the GM. He was the youngest person. You think of all these young GMs in baseball. He's the youngest person to hold the kind of dual position then. And he will forever be known as, you know, the Raider guy. He's Mr. Raider. But he had a history of course, other things that he did way before that, before he jumped into that. And he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in the early 90s. And there were people that loved his passion, that worked for Al Davis and loved him, and there were other people that thought he was like a George Steinbrenner, that he was really tough to work for, and he pulled the trigger quickly on coaches and, you know, whatnot. But he certainly had an influence on the National Football League. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he's part of that Raiders dynasty, and then he continued that Raiders tradition. And yeah, I just think of him with those white pants he would wear. Remember those white pants and those loafers, and he'd have that leather jacket on. You'd see Al Davis walking around in that outfit, that Raidery kind of outfit. So Al Davis dead at the age of 82. Football, ironically, coming up next.
Did Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
This is a special announcement for all Americans who owe back taxes to the IRS or state. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline set up especially for you. This hotline will give you free information on how you can legally reduce or eliminate your tax debt. Call the Consumer Tax Hotline today at 1-800-652-3707. Grab a pen or put the number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-652-3707. When you call, you will speak with qualified companies that will tell you how to stop the collection calls, IRS letters, bank levies, and wage garnishments. Plus, these companies will deal directly with the IRS on your behalf, so you won't have to. Even if you haven't filed returns or you're already in a payment plan, you can still get relief. The current government administration is very amicable and wants to work out a program in your best interest, but this won't last forever, and your tax problem only gets worse if you do nothing or try to handle it yourself. It does make a big difference in who you call, so call the Consumer Tax Hotline today for free information. 1-800-652-3707. That's 1-800-652-3707.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why, when you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
McNabb takes the snap, gives it to Adrian, walks up the middle across the 10. Driving Cardinals to the end zone, touchdown! Oh, what a great run by the great Adrian Peterson. It's a 15-yard run. He stood up a member of the Cardinals, drove him backwards 4 yards, and the blowout's on. 27-0 Vikings.
Oh, goes wide to the right, resting, comes wide to the left, opens the tight end. They motion Colbert back as the wing back to the right side. Castle under center. Castle looks for the quick throw. Throws. Preston catches it. Touchdown, Kansas.
Manning back to throw. Dips one left and through. It's deflected off. Cruising intercepted. Picked off by the Seahawks and going the distance is Brandon Browner to the 20-10-5 touchdown Seattle. Ball game over.
The Saints can make a first down at the 5-yard line. High backs. Breeze fakes a handoff, throws right flat, complete, Thomas, touchdown right side.
Both looking left and right, calls to the waist, nice snap, turns and wants to run, no, he gives it off, and the back goes up, Bernard Scott's got a touchdown. And the Bengals have the lead with 1:56 to play, 22-20.
Campbell, out of the gun on third down. Time steps up, he throws, caught, and it's going to be a Raider touchdown. Wide open, it was to Chaz Gillis. It looked like Campbell would tuck it and run for a moment, and he came close to crossing the line of scrimmage, but he did not.
Here we go, to win the game or lose the game. It's all right here. Matt Schaub out of the gun. First and goal. Back. Final play. Time. He can run for it. He pops out. He throws. It's intercepted by Michael Hupp. The Oakland Raiders have won the game. The Raiders win it on the final play of the game.
Back to throw. Tight pocket. Throws it over the middle.
He's got Jones ahead of the field. He's gone. 20.
Rogers under center out of the eye. Takes the handoff to Grant. Throws it over the middle. He's got Jennings cutting left. Jennings to the 15. He's to the 10. Turns the corner to the 5. Reaching pylon. Touchdown. A sensational play by Greg Jennings.
Yeah, funeral music was perfect for some of those games over the weekend. Philadelphia is in a quandary. They pay $100 million for their quarterback, and Buffalo beats them.
How about that dream team?
Yeah, how about that dream team? The dream team is the Buffalo Bills because they've been fun to watch. This is their time. There's no question about it. So as they unravel, the Bills soar. And then you have, of course, the continued woes of Indianapolis. Peyton Manning, forget it. No Peyton Manning. They're just falling off the board. Minnesota, however, turns things around for a game thanks to Matt Johnson for those fabulous highlights. So we think we would talk about his Vikings for a second. He had a reason to cheer. So did many people in Vikings land because they got a win. They got a big win over Arizona, which normally you look at the schedule and they should have pummeled them anyway. So they did when the final score, you saw it on the scoreboard, 34-10. But still, Donovan McNabb as the quarterback is weak. So the people in Minnesota certainly can't be hoping for great things like the playoffs coming out of this squad. You think so, Matt?
Nope. It's time to lose all the games and get Andrew Luck. I'm all in favor of it because we need a quarterback. I know we drafted Ponder last year or last draft, but Andrew Luck's the real deal. And if we can get that number one pick, I am all in favor of it because there's no way we're making the playoffs this year. McNabb's bad anyways. I think we should bench him regardless if we keep winning or not. He's awful. I can't believe he's this bad. And maybe he's just been this bad this whole time. I know like he had his deal in Washington, but he is just awful. It's so painful to watch him every game.
I agree.
How he got so bad. He looked all right when he was in Philly to me. I mean,
yeah, he was good. I'm a huge Eagles fan. He was good for a time in Philadelphia. He was. I mean, remember they got to the Super Bowl and that's when he had T.O. Of course, we're talking about a handful of years ago, but they were there challenging New England and lost. And he's had some brilliant moments with Philly. Absolutely. Where they won.
He's got a wet noodle for an arm.
Oh yeah. He's terrible.
Underthrowing everyone. Can't make any passes. It's really horrible to watch. It's awful football to watch. I mean, the only reason we won is because our defense was really good and Adrian Peterson was running the hell out of the ball. That's the only reason we won. It was nothing to do with McNabb. He hurt us, if anything. I think it's time to put the Ponder kid in, see if he can play. And if we keep losing, that's fine with me too. It's all about that higher draft pick right now. Although it did give me excuse to cheer, so that's fine.
Yeah, one game at least makes you feel a little bit better. But it was another strange week in the NFL. Houston was on a bit of a roll, but Oakland, Al Davis, we mentioned that, you know, in one of the notes that we got, one of the things I got in the mailbag, talking about Al Davis dying, and Oakland responds. They beat Houston 25-20. San Francisco wallops Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a terrible team, 48-3. Denver, forget it, they're rudderless. You had Kyle Orton, who was replaced by Tim Tebow, who can only run. He was great in college, but now he's in the NFL, and Denver comes up short against San Diego. The Jets, who knows what's going on with the Jets? The Jets had a couple of chances in the last couple of years. Maybe their luck has run out, and Mark Sanchez is in who a lot of people thought he was going to be, but they did play New England, to be fair. New England is like a house on fire, and when you got a home New England game, and they finish them off 30-21, Green Bay didn't have any problems with Atlanta in the very beginning of the game they did, but then they got in their rhythm and beat them 25-14. The Monday night game is Chicago and Detroit, and that was our Nail the Score game. If you just tuned in, here's the scoop. We do this fun thing called Nail the Score. It's in our third hour on Friday, and so you can absolutely participate. It's like circling lottery numbers. I always say that because that's the best analogy. You don't have to analyze the game to death. You don't even have to know anything about football. You're just picking either the Bears or Detroit, and what do you think the score is going to be? I said Detroit 40-36. A lot of people picked the Bears, like Dave in Vermont. He thought the Bears were going to win it 38-21. Let's hope we get a great Monday night football game because, of course, You never know what's going to happen on Monday night with these games. I like the two quarterbacks. From that perspective, I like the idea of this, you know, I like the idea of the matchup and both quarterbacks, Jay Cutler for the Bears, and of course Matt Stafford for the Lions. He's the one I really like, Stafford. They both talked about how big this Monday night matchup is. Take a listen.
You know, it's big for the city, but we also know that, you know, we got to go out there and play well for it to be any kind of fun for our fans. So, you know, for us, we're out there working hard, trying to you know, get better and play better this week.
First Monday night game in a while. You know, we played in loud environments. This is nothing new for us. So we just gotta handle the that first onset and that wave of. You know, they're gonna be fired up. Defensively, they're gonna be coming to get us. So we just gotta ride that wave out, and it's a four quarter game.
It is. It's a cliche, and he used the cliche, Jay Cutler did, but it is a four quarter game, and that's what we've seen this season. Crazy turnarounds.
And like the Vikings would be 4-0.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's no kidding because they have these big leads and then blow them back, and they're not the only ones that have done that. So it's been very strange to pick out trends, but maybe that's what kind of makes it interesting. It makes it interesting though if your team's on the top end at the end of the game after the four quarters with the win. NBA fans, take note, the NBA players and the owners still have no deal. The negotiators for the sides agreed to meet on Sunday, and then they got together for 5 hours or so. They broke for the night. They're going to start back on Monday afternoon, but it's not looking that good. They say they're not really closer to a deal than when the talks stopped last week. Neither side is really telling much about what's the problem, you know, why isn't the framework working out. The entire exhibition season canceled, training camps postponed indefinitely. The November 1st scheduled start to the regular season hasn't been ruled out, but how long can they keep that up? I mean, where are we already in October? So for anybody who's a big fan of the hoop, you might be sorely disappointed. It's not looking good. It's interesting because I really had such good sources in the NFL, and it looked like it was going to be an NFL season, but that the first couple of games would be missed. So it would be a little bit of a shortened season. Of course, that didn't happen. It was abbreviated training camps, the mini camps knocked out or whatever. But now it looks like the NBA is the one that may end up tanking at least the beginning of the season. Oh, my, oh, my. We'll have to settle for a wicked game of horse and pig in our driveways if you have one of those hoops up there, because you might not be watching any pro hoop this year.
This constant bickering has been put me in a coma.
Is this a business decision or is it personal? Because if it's business, I'll go away happily. But if it's personal, I'll go away. But I won't be happy. It's personal.